Will you turn with me tonight for our meditation to the portion we read, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And I want us to think tonight of this man called Simeon. This morning we were looking in chapter 1 at Mary. Tonight I want us to think of Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And then in verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon. There are many markers that can be raised and are raised to famous people, notable people, after they've gone, long gone. This is the house in which so-and-so lived, a little narrow place in the streets of Amsterdam where Anne Frank hid. This is the bed that such and such a person slept in. These are the letters that so-and-so wrote in the moments of crisis. Even in the last few days, we've heard of him coming out in the Diana inquest. These are the kinds of things that fill many pages of biographies. What this person did, that person did, and such like. But the Bible cuts through all of these things of man's interest and goes down immediately to what really matters. So much can be written and so much is said, but to what effect? What is the judgment of history, or particularly, what is God's judgment on our lives? That's what matters most in the end. What is it that God might highlight? What is it that is well-pleasing to him and that he might draw attention to? It comes very quickly when we think of some of the saints in the scriptures. Enoch. And again, before we've finished saying it, we can almost finish the rest of the text. And Enoch walked with God. That's what he was noted for. He was that kind of a very pure and holy person, that he was constantly in the company of God. Abraham, well, Abraham believed God. When he offered up the sacrifice of his son, his hand was stopped at the last moment and a ram was put in its place. And Abraham believed that God would provide that substitute for his son. Caleb. Oh, Caleb was one of these spies that were sent out to spy out the land. He brought back a glowing report, himself and Joshua. But the other 10 didn't fully agree with Caleb and Joshua. Yes, they said that the land was indeed, as they described it, rich and full. But they then focused upon the enemy that was there and the difficulties of throwing them out and occupying the land and possessing these rich blessings. But these were not problems to Caleb and to Joshua. And we read Caleb, he followed the Lord fully. He trusted that God would do as God had said. These are the highlights then about people's lives that the Lord zeroes in on, focuses on, and highlights for us. Come into the New Testament and you find in Luke chapter 7, at the very end of that chapter, you find a nameless woman this time. We don't know what her name is, but she's again singled out for us in the scriptures because she loved the Lord so much. No name given, just that simple spiritual expression of devotion and affection to the Lord for the great thing that the Lord had done for her. She was forgiven the multitude of her sins. And because she was aware of that weight and the Lord removing it from her, we are told that she loved the Lord much. That was the thing that is highlighted. Her tears of joy at how much had been forgiven her. Well, there it is then. The Lord highlighting certain qualities and features of these people's lives for us. And if we put ourselves underneath that same requirement, we have to ask ourselves the question, what will be said of us when we go? What will we be known for? Not by the judgment of men or the opinion of public opinion, but what will we be known for underneath the judgment of God? What will He single out from your life and mine? The things that matter to God. But these are the very things that are often insignificant, passed over by men. We are told of one particular incident in Scripture where a cup of cold water given in the name of God to relieve and to bring respite to somebody in need, that cup of cold water was the very thing that God noticed and marked down. Something we might not even think about. Or again, later on in Luke chapter 21 and verse 2, there was a woman that came into the temple and she was poor and she just put in 2 mites, 2 pennies, very little, according to the judgment of all the others that gave in the collection. But to her, that was a fortune. And that's the very thing that God notices. So it is of this man Simeon here. There were many things that are no doubt could be said about this man. But notice what the Bible brings to our attention. He was a just man, and he was a devoted man. But then especially this, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. His character is there given to us. He was just, he was as honest as the day is long. You could never get a raw deal or a bad deal from Simeon. He was always scrupulous in his relationship and his dealings with others. But he was also devoted in his relationship with God. He was real in his faith. This isn't the outward performance of things that men put lay great emphasis upon. What is spoken about here is what Simeon was like inside. When you get him alone, and there's no gallery to perform to, and there's nobody watching his life looking for points, this is what Simeon was like on his own before God. When you got inside his life, not what men see or value, but what God valued. The inner reality, not the outward form. And particularly, we're told about what he was aiming for. His whole life was spent now waiting. Waiting, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that's something that's quite astonishing and amazing, because again, notice what it says at the very beginning of that verse, "Behold." And every time you come across that word in Scripture, it serves to stop us in our tracks. It draws our attention to something astonishing and amazing, just as we saw it in the morning when the angel was speaking to Mary and telling Mary about the way in which she is going to bring forth a child called Jesus. So again, that same halt is put in our thinking. Stop in our tracks. Listen to what God is saying. This is what this man is doing. An astonishing thing. He's waiting. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. We are living in a day when everything has got to be done at double time without any delay. We are living in the day of the quick fix. And yet, here is God going against that standard. It's not the quick fix. He doesn't give up after one day just because it didn't happen. Maybe that's the way people today would respond. But with patience, he waits and continues to wait. Until the family group go up. to go to Jerusalem for the purification of the mother and the presentation of the child. And then everything comes together and Simeon meets the child, Jesus. Let's look at his life then and take out several different words as a skeleton to help us to both understand but also to challenge ourselves about this man's life and behavior and to see what God values in him and to see if there is an echo of these things in us. The first thing that is quite obvious from this man Simeon was that he went with expectation. He was sitting on the edge of his seat. He wasn't laid back with his legs crossed and his arms folded, but he was there watching, waiting, listening for the slightest sign of what he was hoping for. He was in Jerusalem. And in the city of Jerusalem at this time, things were very, very down and low. People were subdued. Herod was a cruel leader. The religion of the day was outward performance, just simply going through the motions, going through the hoops, doing things at the right time, in the right way, and that's all that was required. Didn't make any difference what you felt like or what you were prepared inside. These things didn't matter. It was a formal religion. The leaders of the day were on the take and on the make. There was no voice of religion. There was no prophecy nor preaching taking place. There was no religious message that was going out, challenging the nation, setting the standards before the nation. Things were subdued and in darkness and in despair. But there was a group there. There was a group of men and women who were not downcast. There were some there that were waiting with hope in God. Notice what it says in verse 38. This time it's speaking of Anna. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him, that is, spake of the Lord, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna, they belonged to a little group of people in Jerusalem at this time that had their eyes fixed on heavenly, noble promises. Perhaps we've read it over many a time, but remember, if you go right to the very other end of the life of our Lord, when he was crucified on the cross and he was going to be buried, there was one person came forward to do that service to the Lord, a man called Joseph of Arimathea. Chapter 23, verse 51. And again, if you go to that man's life, you find there's something in his life that's highlighted for us, the same as in Simeon. What was it about Joseph of Arimathea? He waited for the kingdom of God. He waited. There was that expectation with him, with them, with this crowd in Jerusalem. What was it they were looking for? What was it they were waiting for with expectation? They were waiting for the consolation of Israel. When they were in darkness and when they were down in low numbers, they needed something. And they were looking for something to encourage them, to lift them up. They were looking for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to the very end of the last chapter, chapter 1 and verse 79, read again what it says. And thou, child, this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 76 speaks about the child shall be called the prophet of the highest. And then run down to verse 79 where you read this. He is going to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. That's what the Lord is going to do. He's going to console them by coming to them in their darkness and bringing light to them. They were waiting for all of the promises of the Old Testament to be fulfilled. They were waiting for Jesus to come, the one who had been promised, spoken of, referred to, pointed out, symbolized, demonstrated so many rich, rich means of drawing attention to the way in which Messiah was yet to come. A prophet that the Lord would raise amongst them. Even Peter in preaching in Acts chapter 3 in verse 20 speaks about Jesus who has been preached amongst you. The Lord was being told of and referred to in telling these people in the days of Peter. There were people that were waiting then for these promises to be fulfilled. Perhaps they saw just a brief outline of a promise. They had such a little they had so few words and little description to go on, but they were looking for it in broad outline. And in that queue, and amongst that group, was Simeon. Expectation, waiting for the Lord to come. He was the last in the queue. Every day when he went up to the temple, when he went up, and we think of him as an old man, there's nothing to be sure that would give us evidence of that, except the inferences and the conclusions of Scripture, but we picture him as an old man. And he's going up to the temple, and he's always there with expectation, and he's maybe saying, and just lisping it and putting it in words, perhaps today. Perhaps today. And then when the day goes on and nothing happens, and he's going away from the temple, maybe he comes away with a prayer every night. Lord Jesus, come. That was the expectation of this man. And of course, that expectation challenges us. As we've come to church tonight, what has been the expectation in our gathering? Why are we here? Why are we here? We have come to meet with God, that He would speak to our soul. We have come that we might listen to what He is to say. Hold on to it and keep it in the days to come. Sometimes things can come in to distract us. Sometimes we can be drawn away to, oh, we forgot to do that yesterday and I've got to do it tomorrow morning and I mustn't forget so and so. And we lay all that to one side and we come with an expectancy to wait upon the Lord, that He would meet with us and speak to us. Perhaps we've known in the past the Lord being with us in that way. Perhaps we've known on other occasions, on other days, that kind of nearness of the Lord, and we've let it slip into the background. It's only a memory now. But let that memory tonight, let that memory prompt the same expectation with us as with Simeon. Let that be our outlook this evening, that we might wait upon Him, look for Him, and listen carefully to what He has to say. Tomorrow and for the days to come, there's going to be a tremendous noise buzzing in our ears. But tonight we're still and we're quiet. And the Lord is speaking to us. The expectancy that was with Him, waiting for the Lord. He may come suddenly, unexpectedly, but He will come. Therefore, let us be ready. Ready and waiting to hear what He has to say. the expectation. But then secondly, notice the way in which Simeon was encouraged. In verses 25, 26, and 27, we are told that the Holy Spirit was active in this man's life. The Spirit of God was upon him. The Spirit of God taught him. The Spirit of God led him to the temple in this day in which he met the Lord. The Spirit of God was constantly upon him, not just simply for a limited time or for a specific job, but always upon Simeon. It was the Spirit's guidance that brought him into the temple. And the Spirit encouraged him to wait, to look, to expect. The Spirit of God is at work with us also. We have promises in God's Word. We have promises that God will meet with us and bless us where God says, I will. And we're wanting something from God and we're waiting upon Him with the same expectation, and the Holy Spirit will come back, or take back to our memory rather, a promise just like that. God will speak, or at least the Holy Spirit will speak to us through a promise, encouraging us to continue waiting. Perhaps we haven't yet got what we've been looking for or wanting. Perhaps we've been waiting for a long time for some blessing upon our soul or on someone else. But the Lord encourages, a promise He's given to continue waiting with expectation upon the Lord. Because one day that will lead to exactly what this man had. He waited with expectation. He was encouraged until eventually one day an encounter took place. An encounter took place at God's perfect timing and way. A meeting happened. It was revealed to him by the Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. God's leading and guiding of this man to understand the Old Testament promises. The things that God had promised that Messiah was going to be and Messiah was going to do. That's the consolation that he was waiting for. And now the same Holy Spirit brought Simeon into the temple right on the cue. As the other family were coming in, Joseph and Mary carrying the baby Jesus. And what a meeting that was. That meeting that he had longed for and waited for all his days. The encounter that took place. If God begins a work, as he did with Simeon, God will sustain it and eventually he will bring it to a conclusion. Of that there is no doubt. God does not leave things half done. There is no such thing as a folly in all or any of God's work. We run short of time or resources or such like, and things are left as a folly in our name. Not so with God. What he starts, he continues and will conclude. And so it was with Simeon, and so it will be with us. If we are with expectancy waiting upon God, if we're waiting and listening, if we're encouraged through a promise, God will one day bring it in perfect timing to fulfillment. Keep praying. Keep looking. Continue waiting. And one day, in the mercy of the Lord, He will meet with us. Because it is so vital to us that we meet and that we see the Lord's Christ before we die. The same thing that Simeon wanted and saw and had must be ours also. I have seen the Lord's Christ. Now I can die in peace. After that meeting, after that encounter, he was ready.
a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, vital to him, vital for us. And when we meet him, we will never, ever be disappointed. So often that's what's thrown at us. But it's only thrown at us from those who don't know the Lord himself. People will turn round and say to the Christian, yes, but you've given up so much. You've given up this, that, and the other. The Lord, your life's just an inch deep now. You're shallow and such like and so on. But never ever is that said by those who have known the Lord for themselves. There was a woman in John's Gospel, chapter 4. She wasn't exactly the desirable of the society of her day. She went to the well alone and she wasn't very moral or upright, but she met the Lord Jesus Christ there. And she had that satisfaction and peace that she had never known before. Disappointment, it didn't even venture into her vocabulary. John chapter 4, 29 tells it to us. Go on in John chapter 6 and 68. And there we have, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou alone hast the words of everlasting eternal life. Where else can we go for satisfaction but to the Lord? We've tasted that the Lord is good and gracious, and we are spoiled for anything else after that. When we know the Lord is good and gracious, when we've tasted him for ourselves, everything else is a bitter disappointment. That's the effect of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who changes us. And changed we must be. An encounter with God. An encounter with Jesus. Simeon had it. You and I, we must have it also. But meeting God, there are two very different responses and reactions that can arise. Whenever God drew near to Adam in the garden, after Adam had done something wrong, what did Adam do? But he ran into the bushes and he tried to hide from God. And God said, Adam, where are you? We cannot run from God, but we're scared of him because of what we've done wrong. But Simeon wasn't like that. Simeon wasn't scared or afraid of meeting God. Why? He was, we're told here, he embraced the child in his arms. We read again of the Lord doing exactly the same thing when he was grown up with other young children himself. He embraced, he took the child in his arms. That's what Simeon does here. A frail body, an old man, determined to go up to the temple every day. But there on this one special day, he sees this family coming. And he's taught and he's told by the Holy Spirit, this is the one that you're looking for. This is the consolation of Israel. And he's got strength. And he comes and he embraces the babe. The one he's hoped for, the one he's longed for has come. And you can imagine the way in which his body language would be so different. His eyes would shine. His words would come tumbling out. His face would be radiant because of what he now is holding in his hands, the one who is to bring salvation to Israel. The way in which he embraced the babe, the way in which he came with faith and trust, relying upon what this child was going to do, provides salvation for Israel. If the sin that we've done still lies against our name, we have much reason to be afraid and to hide in the bushes like Adam. It won't work, but we try it. But when we come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that fear is taken from us. We're no longer afraid because what caused that fear has been dealt with. Our sin has been forgiven upon the cross. And instead of running from, we now want to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something beautiful, there's something attractive about Him, a babe in His arms. Tonight then, we ask ourselves again another question that challenges out of this man's life. Do we see something beautiful, something attractive for ourselves in Jesus Christ? Every Sunday passes, every memory comes flooding before our minds at this time, and suddenly the whole of our life is fleeting before us. How many times have we heard the gospel preached? How many times have we heard people speaking about this person called Jesus? We haven't a clue what they're talking about. We don't know what they mean. And why are they excited about Him anyway? And that only tells us something about ourselves more so than about others. We don't yet have spiritual appreciation. We don't yet have spiritual sight. We're still in danger's ground. We still need to be changed. We still need to have our eyes opened to see the beauty. And truly there is beauty in Jesus Christ. He embraced the Lord. And then he went on to give expression to what the Lord himself was going to do. Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Here is Simeon painting the future life of the Lord in spiritual colors. The ministry the Lord was going to achieve. He's going to divide nations and peoples, families and friends. He will be spurned and he will be rejected just because of what he says and stands for and speaks of. That we need help, that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and he is the only name underneath heaven to do it. Mary herself was going to know pain in her heart as she saw her son die upon the cross. And ultimately the Lord will reveal. And this is what's frightening and scary. The Lord will reveal the hearts of all people. Thoughts that we've got bottled up. Thoughts that we think, well, no one's ever going to know them. Here we're told the Lord is going to reveal them as he knows them now. Scary. That's what Jesus Christ is going to do. Right now, as we gather around the cross, right now, as the Lord Jesus Christ is preached and proclaimed before us, right now, the Lord is testing us, trying us, and we will reveal the thoughts of our heart by the reaction that we have. There is no fence around the cross. You can't sit on it. You're either for him or against him. There's no such box to be ticked. Don't know. You can't be neutral. Look at the cross and the reaction of your heart and your soul to it. That's what Simeon sets before us. The way in which the Lord Jesus Christ has set before the nations and the people. And we will be standing or we will be falling according to a relationship with him. But Simeon says something else. He says, "Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace." What Simeon is saying here is that he's been put on sentry duty. Simeon has been sent by the Lord to stand guard. He's there in the temple waiting for Jesus to appear. But now that he's come, he's asking, "Lord, can I have dismissal? Lord, I've stood the course. I've done what's required. Lord, let thy servant depart in peace." He's now. And notice the word, "Now let thy servant depart in peace." He's now ready to go. He's now ready to die. How can any man speak like that? Can we? What is it that's removing the fear and the sting and the dread of death? What is it that gives such composure and peace? What is it that enables Simeon to speak like this? Simply because of what we've been saying all along tonight, the expectation he had, the way in which he embraced the child, the way in which he committed himself to the Savior. He was taught the promises of the Old Testament about Messiah coming, about Jesus coming and saving his people by dying on a cross. He saw the babe coming in the arms of Mary, and he relied and he trusted upon the promises and upon that child, growing up 30 years or so down the line, and that child dying on a cross. Yes, that's what he saw, that's what he was hoping in, and now he can go in peace. We can be weary to be away. We can be weary. Our eye and our vision can roam forward. We're looking above. There is another expectation. And there is another set of promises that come before our minds now, of the Lord's return, and of the glory he's prepared for his people, and the place that he's prepared and the perfection of it, and all of these promises that describe again in only the broadest of terms what heaven is going to be like. We reading these promises are like the Simeon reading the Old Testament promises. They were only in the broadest of life outline, but when it happened, what a tremendous joy there was to the heart of Simeon and all these others that waited for the kingdom of God. We have that same expectation again in another set of promises, in the Lord Jesus Christ's return. But there must be faith, and there must be trust in us as there was in that old saint. Without that faith and without that trust in Jesus Christ, without that expectancy and that reliance upon the Lord. Oh yes, we may have life. We might even have a degree of peace. But without that faith and trust in Christ, we will never have peace to die like this man died. Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. His life is a simple challenge to us. Are we like him? Are we ready? Are we trusting in Christ in the same way as he was? The Savior of Israel, the Savior of my soul. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we draw near to thee again in prayer, asking and seeking thy Spirit's work amongst us to bring home this truth to our minds, we are utterly unable to produce these effects for ourselves. We cannot bring them about in anyone who hears the gospel. And we are a dependent people looking to thyself, O Lord, to do this very thing amongst us. And so we ask that thou wouldst, even now as the voice of man is ceasing, Lord, continue to speak with us and to us, calling us to thyself. And we pray that thy word might lodge with us and stay there and speak to us of things that we've neglected or don't understand. But Lord, may we know the ministry of thy Spirit now, giving us light and meaning and significance.
so that we might be brought to faith in Jesus Christ thy Son. For we ask it in his name. Amen. We close tonight by singing from Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Again, thinking of Simeon holding on to the promises of God, we sing from verse 49. Remember, Lord, thy gracious word. Thou to thy servant spake, which for a ground of my sure hope thou causest me to take. This word of thine my comfort is in mine affliction. For in my straits I am revived by this thy word alone. The men whose hearts with pride are stuffed did greatly me deride, yet from thy straight commandments I have not turned aside. Thy judgments righteous, O Lord, which thou of old forth gave, I did remember, and myself by them comforted have.
And now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and ministry of the Holy Spirit, be upon us this night and forevermore. Amen.